Hello and welcome to the Raising Kaylin podcast. My name is Marsha Naidu and I blog at raisingkaylin.org where we curate resources to empower parents raising children with disabilities. On today's episode 114, we're joined by Carolyn Keel of Beyond 6 Seconds podcast. Carolyn talks to neurodivergent entrepreneurs, creators, advocates, and more about their lives and identities. Their stories shatter misconceptions, break stigma, and showcase the vibrance of neurodiversity. As always, remember the content on this podcast is for your information only. And if you seek specific advice for your situation, to always contact a trained professional. Today's episode is dedicated to the memory of Stephen Harrell. So grab your cup of coffee, put your feet up, and get ready for some awesome conversation. I am super excited to be joined by Carolyn Keel of Beyond 6 Seconds podcast. I met Carolyn earlier this year in Orlando, Florida, when we attended PodFest Expo. So super grateful that she's able to join us today. Carolyn, welcome to the Raising Kaylin podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast. I'm happy to be here.
I would love to find out from you, Carolyn, just a little bit about your background and where you grew up.
Absolutely. So I grew up in a small town in Westchester County, New York, and basically, you know, I lived there, I stayed there my whole, like, childhood growing up. So I went to the public school there, and then middle school and high school, and, you know, pretty much enjoyed school overall, was pretty good at academics, and also that was my first foray into becoming a musician. So I was probably about 9 or 10 years old when I started playing alto saxophone. I started singing, and I did that on and off in school. Mostly, I would have to say, I was playing saxophone all through middle school, high school, and through college, where I played in, like, various, like, marching band and concert band in college. I was in a jazz band, so it was a really fun experience to learn how to play an instrument and, you know, get a good enough competency at it to be able to have a lot of different experiences with it. And I was also a singer, so I was in choruses and choirs. And in high school, I auditioned for a state, sort of a state competitive choir that had you kind of go away somewhere else in New York State for a long weekend and meet with other people in the state and sing. So I got to do that twice while I was in high school, which was really cool, to be able to travel as a musician, even though we were still within the state. And I continued singing in college, where I went to college also in New York, but a little further away from my town, in a town called Poughkeepsie. I went to Vassar College. So they had, at that time, and even now, they had a lot of student-run a cappella groups. So probably people are familiar with a cappella because it's just been on TV so much over the past few years. But at that time, it wasn't as well known. But it's basically small groups of students getting together and singing without instrumentation. So it's all vocal, just vocal arrangements. So I got to sing a cappella in college. Got to sing at a lot of really cool and amazing venues. And between my college singing and then a little while, I took a few years off from singing and then started singing again in an a cappella group in Manhattan. And just got to sing in a lot of really cool places. Like, I've sang for a lot of sporting venues. So I've performed the national anthem in Madison Square Garden and the Prudential Center in Newark, New Jersey. In college, I sang at Lincoln Center as part of a college event right before that started. And I sang in the old Giant Stadium here in New Jersey, which no longer exists. It's, they built MetLife Stadium, but I think we might've been, like, at the last football game before, the end of Giant Stadium when they built the new one. So that was kind of a cool experience. So I don't know. I just really loved singing. I loved being in the group, and I get to arrange songs, and I was very much a musician at that point. But that wasn't my career. My career, actually, out of college, I studied psychology, graduated, wasn't sure what I wanted to do. I said, let me just get a job and see what happens, see what I like about the working world. And many years later, I kind of worked at various office jobs, kind of going up in the ranks and trying different types of functions within the company. Like I worked on change management, enterprise risk management, and data governance, like all these different things that were basically, you know, how to make the business run more efficiently and protect its business. But I still really loved psychology, and I wound up discovering the world of training, like employee training, learning and development. And that's where I work now. And so it kind of ties in with my psychology interests. And I wound up getting a master's degree in organizational psychology, or actually it's industrial organizational psychology. So that's basically psychology for business. So yeah, that's kind of the quick rundown of from beginning to where I am today. And yeah, so, and now I do podcasting. I'm not currently singing, but I'm still on the microphone. So now I do podcasting as a hobby. Yeah.
What was that transformative process that happened from singing to podcasting?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was singing, as I mentioned, in that group in Manhattan for many years. And then I wound up taking a job at my current company, which put me a little further away from Manhattan. So I wound up eventually kind of leaving the group, and the group kind of changed over time to be less of a full year-round experience to something that we did around like the end of year holidays, when people are looking for singers. So I kind of missed having a hobby that let me be creative and let me have sort of, you know, to kind of guide and create something and put something out in the world that I felt was unique, that I felt mattered, that was fun for me, and that I thought other people would enjoy. So I kind of discovered podcasting. I think it was, actually, probably at one of the rehearsals I was at, someone recommended a podcast. It was an episode of Malcolm Gladwell's Revisionist History podcast. It was about Leonard Cohen and the song Hallelujah, because we had sung that song in the group. And they said, oh, it's really interesting. It talks about the whole evolution of the song. And so I listened to the podcast, and then I liked that episode. I started listening to other episodes of his podcast, and that was sort of my intro to what a podcast was. And I think, you know, that was many years ago. That was way before I started my own. And then, you know, I started my new job. Couldn't really make it into Manhattan for rehearsals and performances as much anymore. Missed doing something creative and said, you know, I could try doing this podcasting thing. I already know how to do audio recording. I know how to use a microphone. So I've got that part I feel kind of comfortable with. So now I just have to teach myself like all the other parts of it. Like what is a, you know, where do I host the episodes, and how exactly do I record, and how do I find guests, and even what do I want to talk about? And I just wanted to practice having like one-on-one conversations with strangers. I tend to be pretty shy, even though I like performing on stage, but in terms of talking to strangers, I find that much harder than performing on stage for me. So I'm like, let me try this podcast, and you know, I'll talk to people about things that excite them, because that's how the podcast started out in early 2018. It was just very general interview. It was still called Beyond 6 Seconds, but at that sense, I was giving people like going beyond those 6 second first impressions to kind of tell their stories. So I was talking to people who started their own businesses, or like had a really interesting hobby or passion, or volunteered in a really like cool and interesting way. So just interesting people that I didn't get to hear from normally, who, because they weren't out like talking on social media as much or sharing their stories. And the podcast just grew from there. So I've been doing it since like January 2018. And then for podcasting, I wound up changing the focus of the podcast in early 2022 to focus on interviewing people who are neurodivergent. So people who are like...
like motivation for that, or...
It did, yes. So as part of my interviewing for the podcast in 2021, the year before, I wound up through social media meeting some autistic people who were influencers and talking about their stories. And just through talking with them and sort of following the autistic community on, I think it was Instagram and Twitter at that time, really started to realize how much of that experience was familiar to me and how comfortable I was and how relatable I found autistic people, which, you know, I guess there's this reputation that, you know, we're so different, but I'm like, oh, everybody, you know, it's so relatable. I totally understand like all these experiences you're having. And then I started to think, well, you know, maybe there's something to it. Like, could I potentially be autistic? And this was like months after not really thinking about this at all. So what often happens with this is you just start like reading a lot and like, what does it really like look like in adults? What does it look like in women? And also, what does it feel like? Because with a lot of things like this, people focus on what it looks like, because if you're going for a diagnosis, somebody has to like assess you, or that's sort of the medical model of what people make those judgments on. But no one talked about like, what does it really feel like? And, you know, what are you thinking if you're an autistic person? What might you be thinking? What's your experience of it? And I just realized how much of it was so familiar to me. So in late 2021, I did wind up pursuing and getting a diagnosis of autism for myself. And at that point, I just wanted to learn more for myself. I wanted to help share not just experiences of autism, but all other neurotypes, I guess. So I was just interested in like a whole bunch of different stories, even people with ADHD, dyslexia, other learning disabilities, Tourette's syndrome, you know, even dissociative identity disorder, and like all these other things that, you know, I have a podcast. I have a really good excuse to ask people like, hey, can I talk to you about your experience? And they'll actually say yes, because I have a show. So that's been really cool. I just am interested in all kinds of experiences from people all around the world, all different backgrounds, because it really depends. Your experience can vary so much based on all the different parts of your identity, of your own experiences, your background. So that's how I wound up here.
Would you say, by and large, are there any common threads or any themes that, I mean, you've been podcasting from 2018. Is there anything that sticks to your mind, or what is that fire that feeds you? What is that motivation that keeps you going at it?
Yeah, I mean, and that is a great point. It's been a long time, and I've always said to myself that if at any point the podcast isn't fun for me anymore, I'll stop. And I really haven't hit that point. Like right before I pivoted, I took a little break because I was kind of exhausted, and I was also trying to figure out the whole, you know, do I want to shift? Do I want to change things with the show? But once I came out with the new focus on neurodiversity, I was like fired up again about it. So for me, I just feel it's really important to share people's stories. I remember growing up, I always heard disability talked about, you know, anytime I heard about someone with a disability in the media or a story shared about them, almost all of the time it was somebody else talking about them. So they were never the center of the story. It was never like their own internal experiences. And because I think that's just what the media in general focuses on. So, and there's kind of this assumption that sometimes a person with a disability like can't tell their own story. Like there are certainly some disabilities I'm definitely finding that people just kind of assume like, well, yeah, of course somebody else is talking about them. Like how could they possibly share? But then I found that, you know, especially with social media, there's so many people out there who are sharing their experiences who I've never had a chance to hear from before. And now I have a chance to actually talk to and have conversations with people that I never thought that I would meet. And they come and share their stories. So that's exciting to me. And anytime I get to learn about a new experience that I haven't discussed on the show before, I get really excited too.
Any standout moments? I know that in my podcast, it's just sometimes one or, you know, two stories that kind of cling to your mind. Any of those moments or any ha-ha moments whilst doing the podcast? beyond 6 seconds?
I think one that's going to stay with me is one that I did, I think it was the first year I changed topics. So it would have been 2022. It was the first time I did a podcast episode with an autistic person who's non-speaking. And that was really exciting for me. And part of it is really memorable because I was new. Like, I had never spoken to someone who's non-speaking. So this particular guest that I reached out to was actually incredibly gracious with his time. He said, listen, I know you haven't talked with anyone in our community before. Do you want to have a pre-meeting? I can give you, he recommended like resources for me to read so I could be more educated about it. We met beforehand over Zoom and I got to ask him any kind of questions that I wanted and just kind of get used to the flow of conversation. Because when you're talking to someone who uses a communication aid, the flow of the conversation is different. And it depends on person to person. So this particular guest, his name is Noah Seaback, and he communicates with a letter board. So his parents were there as they're also his communication and regulation partners. So they would kind of prop the board up and he would spell some of the answers he prepared beforehand because I gave him questions. But I also asked him spontaneous questions and he spelled out the answers there. And then they read what he was spelling because they could see it from their angle and I could see him spelling too. So the flow of conversation is different when you're talking to someone using a communication aid. It's not like the quick back and forth. You're not interrupting each other. But in some ways, it's actually kind of nice because you have that space to really think and listen to someone and you know, the grace to wait for them to get their thoughts out. Because I know, just in my experience, you know, I still live in the New York City metro area, so I'm in New Jersey now, but we speak very quickly. You don't have a lot of time to get your thoughts out and everything's like, go, go, go. And, you know, sometimes it's like, can we just slow down for a second like so I can get a thought out? So that was kind of nice to be kind of rethink the way that you have a conversation. And I've since spoken to other non-speaking autistic guests who have been on my show. And that's been a point that they've had is like, listen, communication and conversations with others are different. So please, please come talk to us. Please come communicate with us, but understand to that we need the space in order to have time to respond. So that was a big learning for me. And it's something I think about a lot. So yeah, Noah, I think was definitely one of my favorite guests and one I think I'll always remember and be grateful for what he taught me even before we got on the microphone recording together.
The next question I would like to head into is, what next? Where do you see your podcast going?
Oh, wow. For me, I just want to keep growing it and capturing and sharing, amplifying more experiences. I release, because I work full time now, I release every other Monday a new episode. So that only gives me a certain amount number of episodes per year. So I just feel like there's so much more that I want to cover in terms of different neurotypes that I really haven't talked about with people on the show, different backgrounds, different places in the world where I want to meet people and talk about what it's like being neurodivergent in different countries, different parts of the world. So yeah, I'm just hoping for, you know, and I'm hoping to find more listeners. It's a lot of times I'll get feedback from people who really appreciate hearing the stories and appreciate that there is like a diversity in people's experiences and backgrounds when they're sharing their stories as well. So I just want to keep growing that so I can include more and more people from more and more backgrounds and experiences and keep getting recognition for the show. So I've submitted for a couple of awards over the past couple of years, and I've been fortunate enough to win several awards. So, you know, that's certainly nice for me, but it's also really great for the show in terms of getting it out and having people hear about it. So, yeah, I just hope to continue growing my listener base and share more new and interesting stories from people.
Karen, our audience on the Raising Kellen podcast primarily tends to be parents. So Would there be perhaps any general advice that you would offer, speak to parents about as a person that is neurodivergent, or just anything that you would want to put out there?
Yeah, I mean, it's always tough for me because I'm not a parent myself, so I always feel a little strange trying to give advice to parents. But first of all, thank you for listening to this episode. I guess I would have to say that, you know, when I talk to people, especially younger people on the show, their parents always play a really strong role in their development. And a lot of times, well, sometimes their parents attend with them, depending on, who's on the show. And other times it's just obvious from talking to the person just how important their parents were for advocating for them in school, or just sort of intuitively knowing that, you know, oh, they're hitting their milestones differently. Let me adjust the way that I'm supporting them or teaching them things at home in ways that have really helped their kids as well. So I would say just, I would say just continue to realize that you are and will continue to be a really positive and powerful influence in your child's life. And that, especially with autistic kids, you know, we're kids. So a lot of times as an adult, you'll be a completely different person just by the nature of growing up. So, I know sometimes things to be a challenge with autistic kids and really all kids, I guess, present their own challenges. But knowing that a lot of times the kids will grow up and just be different just by nature of growing up. And, you know, again, it really depends on the person and their own experiences. But I would say, and definitely just be tuned in. And I'm sure everybody listening is already doing this, but just be tuned into what your child is feeling and thinking and communicating to you, even if they're not communicating it like sort of in a straightforward spoken way, just to be there and be aware of how the environment is impacting your child as well. And yeah, I guess that's all I can think of. If you're curious about what neurodivergent adults are thinking and looking back on their childhoods, my show is great for that, because a lot of times I'll have people in their 20s who just recently became adults reflecting backwards on how things have changed. But I guess that's all the advice that I can think of as a non-parent giving advice to parents.
Hey, listen, I believe that we can all learn from each other's experiences. And I think a question or curiosity I would have is that of self-identifying as a person with a disability or as neurodivergent. When did that... And I know it might be a little different for you, Carolyn, having discovered that neurodiversity later in life. But as far as self-identifying and parents being able to support that identity, could you possibly shed any light on that?
Again, it's been a long time since I've been in the school system, myself, but I would say, I guess one thing that's important, and this is my opinion, some people disagree with me, but I would say don't hide. If your child gets a diagnosis of whether it's autism, ADHD, dyslexia, and anything like that, don't hide that from them. I'm not saying you have to go and like read them their diagnosis when they're 5 years old. There are obviously age-appropriate ways to introduce these concepts, and that whatever will work for your child. You know them, you know their interests. But I don't know, just some of the conversations I've had with guests about parents who probably just didn't know how to tell their kid and just didn't really think about it. And then they found out and it wasn't like a great, they didn't find out probably in the best way that the parent or the child wanted them to find out. So I would just say that is just find a way to share that with your child. It may still be difficult for them, of course, but it's better than thinking that your kid growing up and thinking there's something wrong with them when in fact it is a disability, which is not something wrong with them. Because I know some people get nervous about labels, like, oh, I don't want my kid to feel like they've been labeled with this disability. And it's kind of like, well, sometimes with autism, with ADHD, people will give you other labels and they won't be kind. So you're better off having like the actual quote unquote label, because then you know how to help with that. It might be an IEP, it might be other supports. You will have a community as well. There's, you know, community of parents and children who have the same neurotype or the same disability that you can find support from. So yeah, I guess that's the other piece that I have for that. And then just being supportive of your child and listening to them. That's one thing I found through podcasting is what a gift it is to be listened to, because I feel like a lot of times people just don't feel listened to. So the fact that someone can sit down for a half hour, 45 minutes, an hour and tell their story and have someone ask them questions like they're actually listening and interested in what they have to say is kind of revolutionary, which is a little sad. We should all be doing more of that. But so it just reminded me of the importance of listening. So definitely listen to your child and try to understand where they're coming from. Again, just, you know, good general parenting things, I guess, that everyone would want to do for their kids. But I guess that's all I have.
Listen, you have given us some true gems. And thank you so much for taking the time out to come to speak to us. And I would love if you could, you know, just reflecting back, and it doesn't have to be now, but for that mom or dad listening, perhaps give us an idea of your top five episodes or something that you think would have, parental advice that you think would be, you know, would be great. You have a great night and speak to you later.
Thank you. Have a great night. And thanks again.
You're welcome. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Today's episode is dedicated to the memory of Stephen Harrell. Thank you for listening along on the podcast today. If you would like us to come to your library or do a reading for the students in your class, with regards to Raising Kellen, A Story of Disability, our recent children's book, please let me know and you can contact me at raisingkellen@gmail.com. We would love to visit with you this summer and bring along a few copies of our books, as well as the illustrations done by the citizens at On the Avenue in Nashville, Tennessee. Look forward to talking to Martha Sumer Chadwick, who is a music therapist out of Chattanooga, Tennessee, on our next episode. Until then, always remember, get to the top of your mountain. This is Marsh Naidoo, signing off.